Hello and welcome back. This is Alice Green, your host and coach of the Food Freedom Workshop. This is our sixth class together. And today I'm going to talk about healthy eating strategies so that you always, or nearly always, have healthy food available when you get hungry. Very often, what gets in the way of making a healthy choice is not having planned, prepared, or considered other options for healthy meals and snacks ahead of time, and then you either go hungry or eat something you really don't want because it's the only thing available. So the topic this week is on that third C, the C of making healthy choices. Now, one of the greatest obstacles to making healthy choices and balancing meals is the planning and preparation involved. You can be aware that you're getting hungry, but if you don't have access to food when you need it and when you're getting hungry, you can't honor that hunger, and you may find yourself grabbing anything that you can get your hands on or not getting any food at all, and then later on overeating to make up for that deprivation. Now, sometimes it isn't obvious what it is that you need to do to avoid those situations until you have one. And then you get to see what types of situations come up for you and can more easily see what would be a good strategy next time that you're in a similar position. And you can always look back with hindsight at what has happened in the past that did or didn't work, particularly if you know that you have a tricky situation coming up. You can look back and sort of say, what worked last time for this? Like if you're going to be going off on a trip and you're flying across the country, or you're taking a long road trip, or having back-to-back meetings all day, or going to an event, or visiting with family, or going off for a holiday meal, or something else that you know will put you in a position where you don't have control over when or what types of foods are available. And then you can use that hindsight to think through what strategies or planning and preparation are needed, so you get the foods that you want in the amounts you need and have a positive experience. Perhaps the trickiest situation is when you least expect to find yourself hungry and are totally unprepared. And this can happen very easily when you, for example, head off to do your errands. You think, I'll be right back. No need to think about it or worry about getting food. You run off to go shopping or do errands, and the next thing you know, it's been a few hours. You added on a couple of other stops that you didn't plan to, or stopped in a few other stores, and then you discover you are nowhere near places that sell food or what is available for food you know you don't want. Or it can happen when you're traveling and your flight's been delayed for a number of hours and you didn't bring enough healthy snacks to carry you that length of time. In fact, that's exactly what happened to me not long ago when I had a six-hour flight to San Francisco. So I was going Boston to San Francisco. It was a direct flight. But what I didn't take into account was that by the time I finally got on the plane, it had been 3 hours since I had left home. And I was hungry. And I would have been. Now, of course, I did bring food with me, but I only brought enough food to cover me for 6 hours, not for nine. So towards the end of my flight, when I was getting hungry again, the only option that I had was to get food that was offered on board, not food that I really wanted. But when you're hungry, you want to eat something. And so I did. The answer for this, and again, I'm usually well prepared for it, but in that case, I wasn't. So the answer for that is always carry plenty of healthy, balanced snacks with you. You know, keep them in your car. Have extras in your carry-on suitcase, something that I normally do and didn't do that day. Or have them somewhere else. Maybe as a woman, keep them in your purse. Keep them in whatever pack you use to go back and forth from work, wherever it is that you think you need them. Probably the easiest types of snacks that you can do that with are food bars, particularly those that don't have the fillings or coatings that can melt in really warm temperatures. Having been through that experience, I used to have one that I liked that had a chocolate covering. Well, did that in the summer or in a place where there's high heat and it melts. And that doesn't always work so well. So you want to look for some that you can have, whether it's very cold or very hot temperatures. And as I mentioned in our third class, you can find find fairly balanced whole grain bars without coatings or without so much sugar, another thing to look for when you look at those labels. And for a reference guide to figure out which would be best for you that you would like, use that chart that I provided in the workbook from that class. Other options that are great are things like soy nuts. They have a great balance of carbs, protein, and fat. Although I should point out, if you're a woman going through menopause who's affected by the phytoestrogen levels of soybean products, that's probably not a good choice for you. But other ideas would be whole grain crackers or even 100% whole wheat pretzels that you could pair with a low saturated fat single portion cheese like a mini Baby Bell Light or a light Laughing Cow wedge. Another possibility that's easy to keep is trail mix. You can pair that with some type of a whole grain or whole food carbohydrate. And the reason to pair it, by the way, is because most trail mixes are imbalanced. They're really high with nuts, and so they have a lot of fat and protein, but they usually don't have enough carbohydrates, or the carbohydrates they do have are mostly simple carbs from the dried fruit or the chocolate bits, or that's a typical kind of thing. They're not candy usually, but typically what they're putting together, and this was done because people were out on trails needing to have immediate fuel replenishment, they were putting in simple carbohydrates with those nuts. So you want to pair that with some other type of whole grain or whole food carbohydrate. And then again, you can always have a small jar of peanut butter or a bag of nuts stashed away that you could pair off with some whole grain crackers. Now, so far, what I've been focusing on are things that you can keep without refrigeration or that are easy to eat no matter where you are and can provide enough nutrition for a couple of hours. Your options open up when you have a refrigerator or a cooler nearby, like at work or something that you have in your car. People who work out of their car often have coolers. And if you have those options, then you can consider hummus that you can put together with crackers or pita, a whole grain pita. You could have lean meats and veggie wraps. You could then have some fruit or other types of cheeses that you can, you know, the Laughing Cow and the Baby Bells, usually you can do that without refrigeration for a little bit. So if you have refrigeration, you have a little more options with all of that. Or perhaps you have leftovers from home that you want to use as one of your meals. Again, it's great if you can refrigerate that. Many of the ideas that I've just been mentioning can be found on the balanced eating pie chart from our third class. That's that one that has the lunch or dinner pie chart in red and breakfast in blue and the snacks in green. I've been talking about snacks. And I also have snack ideas listed on page 2 of this week's workbook. So if you look down at the bottom under snack ideas. Now the other sections, once you get to that page, open that up, the other sections above the snacks deal with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for many people, these are equally challenging to plan and prepare for. And it's just as important to plan for having healthy food at home as it is when you aren't there. Now, I often hear from clients that they would have eaten well during the week if they'd only gone food shopping or if they'd only had healthy foods in the house. In fact, I can remember when Catherine, who I worked with, had a particularly tough week. And she'd reverted to eating junk food in between our sessions. Why? Because she couldn't go shopping on Sunday as she planned. And then she never stopped to figure out how could she get the shopping done once her week got started. After our call, and she said, okay, I know when I can go, and she was able to go again and restock her kitchen, she had no problem preparing her healthy meals and snacks and going back to healthier choices. And this can happen. So you have to be aware that this can happen to you. You may have a day planned to go shopping and something comes up that keeps you from going. Maybe somebody drops by. Something changes in your schedule. Maybe it's that weekend when you had plans and you didn't realize, oh yeah, what about shopping? Okay, well, then what? What's plan B? Do you have food in the freezer to cover you until you can go again? When is the next time you could go, or who could go for you? These are things you want to consider ahead of time, because if you don't, you too could easily find yourself going back to old eating habits and forgetting that the reason is you didn't get to the store and you need a plan. Now, shopping is only one part of making sure you have healthy foods to eat. To shop, you need to have, you know, some kind of list. You need to know what it is you're going to get when you go to the store. You may find it helpful to plan out ahead of time what meals you're going to have for the week, and then from that come up with your shopping list. You may be someone who finds it very easy to go to the store and just get the things that you need, usually the same things every week. Or you may be able to come up with ideas as you look around and say, oh yeah, this or that's on sale and I could have something else with it that paired together would be healthy and balanced. We're all different in what we're able to do when we go shopping, but many people are not as comfortable doing that and really do need a list. Now, you may do that for the whole week, or you may want to shop every few days for specific types of meals, or you may want to go to a farmer's market first and see what they have before figuring out your whole list and then going to the store. Again, everyone is different as to what works for them. And again, I'm thinking of a client when I say that. My client, Corinna, she found shopping all at once was overwhelming. She just couldn't, it was just too much for her. And she found that what worked better was to break it up. So for the things that she needed to stock in her office at work, what helped her was to go out during one of her lunch breaks during the week and just go to a local grocery store that had all the things that she needed for that. Very easy. That felt really doable to her. Then she could do sort of the main staples grocery shopping with her husband over the weekend. And there she had someone to help her, and they could get a lot of the things that they needed. And then during the week, usually around Wednesday, what she liked to do was stop at the store to get the last kind of things that they needed for the dinners that would take them Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or maybe into Saturday before they went shopping again over the weekend. So breaking it down for her was a lot less stressful and made her a lot more calm. And I remember working with Michael, who lived alone, and for him, what worked better for him, because he really didn't like going shopping, was to just stop in each day on his way home from work, grabbing a few items, going through that fast checkout line, and then he would have enough for that night and for making his lunch the next day. So it's understanding yourself, what gets to be too much for you, and how shopping and figuring out what you're going to put together for the week works best. Now, I think the people this is the hardest for are those who find that cooking is a challenge. They either don't like to cook or they don't cook often enough to feel they're good at it. And if you're one of those who struggles with this, my suggestion is find just a few very simple recipes for making your favorite types of healthy, balanced meals. Don't try to overwhelm yourself. Do just a few things at first, and then once you get those down, add a couple more, and very slowly build your confidence and your recipe base. And the other thing is, don't be afraid to make mistakes and experiment. In fact, give yourself permission to have meals, make meals that don't quite turn out, so that you can see it as part of a learning process and not as a failure. In fact, I worked with a gal who didn't know how to make spinach. How does she make wilted spinach was sort of her big quest for the week. And what she did is she got a big bag of spinach, and she decided to do it in quarters. And she expected that the first quarter probably wasn't going to turn out so well. And as she experimented with each quarter amount of the spinach, she was getting better and better. And at the end, she put together a little salad with that and said, wow, this worked out so well, now I know how to do it, and after that, she had it all the time. But she had to overcome that fear of not knowing how to make it and not making it well. And once she did, she was good to go. And also from that, she felt a little braver to try new things. For me, and cooking was certainly not easy for me, I started cooking about 10 years ago and had a lot of my own fears about it, very similar to what that gal had with her spinach. And what I found worked best for me as I started building my recipe base was to do something very minimal. I really like 5-minute preparation meals and keeping my food simple. And if that sounds appealing to you, I do have 5 full meal recipes at the back of my book, Inspired to Feel Good. And they are meals that have pork. The 5 are pork, salmon, tilapia, chicken, and ham. So if you have my book, at the very back you can find those. And you can also go online and search for recipes. There's so much available. Or you could pull out some cookbooks that you have on the shelf and see if you can find some recipes that you now want to try. I think the thing to know is cooking doesn't have to be complicated or involve lots of ingredients to be healthy and satisfying. And once you start experimenting, you may discover it's actually fun, relaxing, and rewarding. That said, of course, there are going to be some nights you don't want to cook, or you don't have time to prepare a healthy meal. Or perhaps you usually cook for your family and you have a night when they're gone and you're on your own. For all of these times, you need some backup plans. You know, think about what would work for you. What could you stock in the freezer that would be easy and quick to prepare and be balanced that you would really enjoy and be really simple? Or where could you stop and pick up healthy prepared foods on the way home or that you could run out to that's very nearby? Or who else could help with the cooking? One gal I worked with realized that her kids could help. I mean, she hadn't thought of that before. And they totally surprised her by being not only really interested in cooking, but being really helpful, even her teenage son. So sometimes you assume incorrectly how much others in your household are willing to help. And if you ask for the help, you may be surprised that they're very willing and even excited to participate. Now, maybe the person who could help you the most with preparing some meals is a personal chef. You know, the belief is that they're too expensive and only the wealthy have a personal chef, but that's not necessarily the case at all. And these days, many of them could use a few more clients and are always more flexible than you might think. They're actually quite affordable, and they can make just one meal a week, if you like, or they could cook for a few days or a whole week periodically, or they could drop off a crock pot that lasts a couple of days. You don't know what they can do for you or how much it will cost until you look into it. And it doesn't matter where you live, because there are probably several who are local to you, and they'll cook to your specific requirements. You know, they're great people to turn to. They're well informed. They're informed about different local foods in the area. They're informed about how to cook maybe gluten intolerant or dairy intolerant or any other type of food allergies. There are a wealth of information. Many of them will teach you how to cook. So they're a great resource and worth having an established relationship with for those times when you could use their help. To find them, just look up personal chef in your region online. And like I said, I'll bet several pop up. And there are also personal chef directories online that list people by state. So just type that in and you'll see very quickly that there are a lot of options not too far away. Now, primarily I've been talking about dinners and snacks. So moving on to lunches, these can also be challenging, especially if you work where there's limited access to a refrigerator or microwave. And those who do have access to these, yes, they have more options and they can stock up with fresh or even frozen vegetables or meats and dairy products, but we're back to planning, just like that gal I mentioned who had to run out during the week to stock up. Planning is usually the greater challenge if you have to stock up either your refrigerator or your desk, or it can also be a challenge if you're bringing your lunch to work. You know, if you're working at home or at home with your kids, the challenge there may be making lunch for yourself. Again, you got to think about what are ways to make lunches that are easier to plan and prepare, what are your options when you can't do either, what types of places are nearby that have those healthy lunches or have healthy to-go options, or what can you carry with you if you're out during the day and you can't find one of those places. And then last but not least is breakfast. If you don't always have time to fit in breakfast, then what can you eat in the car? Or how can you get a little bite of something before you dash out of the house, and then later, how can you get that larger mid-morning balance snack? You know, and if you do end up needing a larger snack, what do you need to plan or prepare in order to support that? So hopefully as you're listening to me, starting to think about where in your day is the most challenging to plan and prepare for, what is already sort of taken care of, and what do you need to come up with some new plans so that it is easier for you to be able to have healthy food when you need it. I also want to point out the grocery store is a great place to get ideas. In fact, you may want to spend some extra time at the store periodically, you know, to see if there are new foods in the freezer section, or to look for some healthy alternative ingredients for your meals, or see if there are some more interesting whole grain crackers or pastas that have shown up, or to try out some different cereals or whole grain breads. You'd be pretty amazed how many food companies right now are bringing out healthier products. They're doing a great job, and if you haven't checked in a while, you may find that you have a belief that you can't get what you love in a healthier way, when in fact there are lots of great options. So look in the freezer section, look on the shelves, see if something new hasn't popped up since the last time you took a look around. In fact, as I'm thinking about the grocery store, I'm remembering that in the past, it was quite a number of years ago in my business, I used to take people to the grocery store, and the way I would do that is we would kind of progress through their day. So it'd start with what is it that they would like to have for breakfast, and what could we find that was healthier, and then lunch, dinner, et cetera. And I remember one young woman that I worked with, Julia, I started off saying, okay, so, you know, what would you like to have in the morning? What are your favorite breakfasts? And she was like most of the people that I took to the store. The first thing they would say is what it is they loved, and then, oh, yeah, but, you know, of course, I really shouldn't have that, or I know that's not okay, so why don't you just tell me what I should have? And my reaction always was, no, let's focus on what it is that you love to eat, and let's find a healthier way to have it. Let's go see what your options are. And so, you know, thinking back to Julia, who said, I remember it very well, you know, her saying, well, yeah, I really love eggs, and, you know, my favorite breakfast is eggs, bacon, and English muffins. But, you know, I know carbs are bad, and I shouldn't have bacon, and, well, I probably shouldn't have the eggs either. And I said, oh, let's go find out, you know, what's there. Let's go see, you know, if there are some healthier versions of those so that you can have this breakfast that you love in a way that's healthy. And sure enough, we found 100% whole wheat English muffins. We found several types of lean bacon. Some of them were with pork that had the fat cut way back, and others were made of, I think it was turkey, I can't really remember now, but turkey or chicken. And then went over to the egg section, and what we found there were eggs and egg beaters that were lower in saturated fat, some other egg alternatives. And what I was doing as we went through that was encouraging her to, you know, take these things home and try them. So when we were looking at the bacon options, I encouraged her to buy a couple of different varieties that looked appealing, that were lower in saturated fat, to see which ones she liked best. And then when it came to the eggs, because I remember the egg beaters, she was like, I'm not eating egg beaters. And none of the little boxed-up version of egg alternatives were appealing. And so I gave her another suggestion, which was, yeah, use regular eggs and remove the yolks from some of them to lower that saturated fat. Anyway, the following week when she called in, she was so excited. She told me she was loving her breakfast. I mean, she was also enjoying her other meals, but I do remember the breakfast discussion particularly. She was finding that the whole wheat English muffin tasted exactly the same to her as the other ones, that the eggs were fine with half the yolks, and that one of those lean bacon options turned out to be really, really good. So now she could totally enjoy her breakfast, knowing it was healthy and satisfying. And in that way, what she was able to do was put together a whole lot of meals that really weren't so different from what she was used to eating, weren't prepared all that differently, and it wasn't so stressful and overwhelming to try and change her diet when all she was doing was just tweaking some of the ingredients. For more ideas for you on what you could do, what you could eat that's healthy and balanced for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, spend some time looking at this list in your workbook. or go to the grocery store and look around and see how you could just tweak a few things in the foods that you really like to have. I also think that this list will also help you when you go out to eat and you're looking at the menu to find things that are balanced and work well together. Whether that means pairing an appetizer with a salad, picking foods that are more plain without all the sauces and cheeses, or having them put on the side, or asking for an entree to be made with less fat, or to have a starch replaced with more vegetables. I think what you'll find is many people do who go through this program that they want more vegetables, and you may actually find you're actually wanting and craving vegetables instead of the starches, and you may want to do that yourself. I think the key is to look at the menu from your new perspective of balancing lean protein, unsaturated fat, and complex carbs, and then seeing which of the items will best do that. And then of those items, which would you like best? And then if needed, you know, have the kitchen, you know, prepare a little bit differently if it needs to be tweaked a little bit more. Maybe something that you really think looks good and you think it has the best balance, says it has a butter sauce. And you either could put that on the side or see if they could make it with less. You know, more and more restaurants are very, very accommodating. And so don't be afraid to ask. And then, before I wrap up the call, I think there's one other thing that is important to consider that often takes planning and preparation, and that is having water with you. Now, if you don't think you're getting enough water, then consider what would be a way to carry water with you, or what type of container would be appealing and help you get more water each day, and how much water do you want to try to drink throughout the day. I can share with you what works for me. I have 3 different size containers of water that I keep in my refrigerator, and I have a 12-ounce one that I take with me. It's sort of my portable one, the one that I take when I go out in the car or when I'm going exercise or being active. I have a 32-ounce one for when I'm working at my desk that has a sort of that plastic straw in it, and I have a 64-ounce one that I use to fill my water glass in the kitchen. And I almost always have water near me throughout my entire day because I do have a plan that works and I am prepared. I always refill my containers with fresh water at night so that I can count on the containers being full and cold when I reach for them the next day. So for you, think of what type of plan would work best. And now, as we come to a close, for this coming week, I encourage you to consider if there are better ways that you can plan and prepare for all of your meals, and if you have enough food with you when you aren't home, or if you're getting enough water with the way you have things set up for yourself. Throughout this call, I've given you lots of ideas, and you certainly have many of your own, to help you have healthy food whenever you get hungry. And I, again, encourage you to experiment with the planning and preparation strategies that you already are playing with or that you might have gotten some new ideas about on this call to support you in maintaining your healthier eating habits. This concludes our 6th class. Thank you again for joining me today. We will meet next week. And in the meantime, I do look forward to having you on our coaching call. Talk to you soon.